welcome. May the Lord bless you. It's good to be here this morning. Just appreciate what has been shared this morning. Just want to thank you, brothers. Also Navert for sharing, also Matthew. It's just a blessing again to hear the Word of God and hear how God has changed people's lives and how He affects us. And God is faithful in doing that. I know I've just recently again been reminded of that, just how God's Word does exactly what He sends it to do. None of it comes back and didn't quite make it. You know, it didn't quite accomplish what He wants it. It's a blessing to know that we can trust God in that way. What He says, He will have happen, and what He has promised, He will also fulfill. And so that's a blessing. Could we rise again? I know we've been sitting a while this morning. Could we rise again and just have another word of prayer if that's okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do cry out to You this morning, Lord, for Your blessing upon us, God. We do recognize, Lord, that we, Lord, are nothing without You, Lord. And we thank You, God, that You have saved us from our sins through Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for the precious blood that was shed. We thank You, Lord, that it's because of that that we have hope this morning. We have peace in our hearts. We have Your joy within us, Lord. And God, we have something that's worth living for and worth dying for. Lord, we thank You for that. God, I pray for Your blessing upon us here this morning. I pray that You would just bless each one that's here, meet each need, Lord. God, we're all needy. We want spiritual food, spiritual manna. We do have needs that need to be met, Lord. We just pray that You would minister to each need. Thank You, God. Thank You for hearing our prayer, and thank You for being with us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like to just speak on the subject of the power of sound. The power of sound. Can you hear me this morning? You can hear me, right? And that's sound. The challenging thing is, what are we hearing and what sound are we allowing to come in, and some of those things. Of course, I wasn't exactly sure which way to exactly how to where to put the title, but the reason I chose the power of sound is because I think, you know, the words that we speak and the music we listen to and the other things we hear influence us. And that's why I didn't just narrow it down to just simply the tongue or the words or and so forth, because there's more to that affects us and influences us. So the question is, what sound are we listening to this morning? What sound are we listening to? The power of sound. Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 3. We are going to speak about the tongue a little bit, but not only. It's a very familiar passage for us. James chapter 3. Like to read down to chapter 3, verse 1 to 6 there. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word," that's this tongue, this sound, if any man offend not in word, that the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue, again we're talking about sound, the tongue as a little member boasteth great things, and it does this with sounds. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. In verse 6, so is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. And it goes on, talks about, yeah, we've tamed all these creatures, we've done all these things, we've been able to do that, but the tongue can no man tame. It talks about that in verse 8 there. Therewith bless we God, verse 9, and we curse men. Out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. So there's a lot of sound coming out of our mouth, and a lot of things we are hearing, we are listening to. If you think about sound and just the importance of sound and how much it affects us, I found it interesting last evening. Little Noah was at our place, and he was making his own sounds, and it's interesting how his motions went right with his sound that he was creating, and it definitely affects the way that we even handle ourselves, our little innocent children, and how they affect. He was making sounds with a little harmonica that we have there, and anyway, just it just impressed on my mind how sound affects us tremendously. And if you don't, okay, that's on the music side of things, but what about when somebody comes storming mad into your workplace, really upset about your seed that you sold, or your barn that, or your flowers that you're selling, whatever, or your barn that you sold, any of those things, they're really mad, and they're calling you, and they're really upset about this thing. And they hear this, you hear that sound, and there's all kinds of things that are happening inside of you while that's coming at you. There's all kinds of things that are happening inside of you, and you're trying to figure out how are you going to handle this. You know, he's using all kinds of words, but also the tone of voice is agitated, it's elevated, and all that. If we look at the scripture in Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And it's so beautiful, if you take that sound, you hear that ugly sound, and now the power of sound, when there's a Christian, a true believer, expresses Christ's love, expresses care about their problem, their situation, expresses concern about it, but in a soft way, not in a loud, demanding way, comes across, and it just, the fire goes out. It's like putting a hose to a fire, and it just, you actually could reason a little bit. You don't actually have to get mad about it. All right, you know. But all that power, all that is God has given us those things to use, and of course, Him living within us is what makes all the difference. The Lord Jesus dwelling within us. Also, turn your Bibles to Psalm 89. So if we think of the power of sound, if, I know Brother Harold Dean Miller, he preached one time about, he was talking about music and just the different impact that even just the tone of voice can have. And he used this little demonstration. I don't know if I used that as if I shared this before or not, but I know it really made an impression to me. frustration, he said,
"I'm not frustrated."
What did you get? What? You got that I was frustrated. Yeah. The sound told you something. You know, just even the level, the sound that comes out has an impact. If I instead say, I'm not frustrated, completely different. I'm saying the same words, exact same words, but the level, the tone of voice makes such a difference. And I guess part of my desire this morning is just an encouragement to, I think, all of us. We all, you children, have the blessing, the ability, the opportunity to use what God has given you, this tongue of ours, this sound, to come to your father, come to your daddy in a nice way, in a nice humble way. And us as fathers, we can also, the tone of voice that we share something with our children, the tone of voice that we share with brother to brother and all those things, have a tremendous amount of power. We can say the right words, we can say the right things, but the tone of voice, the power of sound is tremendous. Just as I demonstrated, I'm not frustrated, or the other way. Psalm 89 there, I was wanting to read a few verses there. In Psalm 89, verse 14, 14 to 18, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they shall rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, the Holy One of Israel is our King. Blessed is, in verse 15 again, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. God has a joyful sound that he's expecting from his people. And we know that. We can, the God's people will know that sound. We will know that in our singing. We will know that in our communication. We will know that in how we respond when there are those pressures where I could be frustrated. Is there a joyfulness that comes out? Is there, even though there's hard things, even though there's frustrations, I didn't get the business deal that I was hoping to, but I can still be cheerful. Blessed are that are the people that know the joyful sound. And that, I think that joyful sound, I think, of course, all of the source of joy is really God, is Jesus. That really is our source of joy. But that is tremendously powerful, the testimony that goes forth, the testimony that goes out. I know, Brother Andy, you shared about that when you were talking about some of the difficulties with your heart surgery last summer, and some of the testimony just of the doctor and interaction, and just, you know, at least the expression that I got was more of a peacefulness, a cheerfulness, and yes, you have a difficulty, but the joy, and that speaks to the world. That's tremendous, the joyfulness, how we even look at life, the power of sound, and how we respond to those things. Also in, you don't have to turn to this, in Isaiah 52, it says, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of them of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. And so there's a beautiful sound of peace coming. That's sharing the gospel. It's sharing it with those that are hungry, hurting, like we heard this morning, and those that were wanting the truth, and they heard it. They heard the gospel of peace. It bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto the Lord, unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And then in verse 9 there in Isaiah 52, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. So there's a tremendous blessing to hear that joyful sound, to hear the gospel, to hear the word of God being proclaimed, joyful sound, and the gospel coming in a joyful manner like that. So that was kind of a little introduction to the power of sound, the tremendous power that's there. I just have about three main points that I'd like to, actually four main points that I would like to focus on. And the first one is words of encouragement, just the importance of words of encouragement. I think it's so important, and this is in light of sounds that we hear. We can hear these things. I know there are some deaf people that I know, but not very many people that I know. I know they don't have the blessing of hearing sounds like we do. But all of us here can hear sounds this morning, and there's a lot of power in sound, and just encouraging us again to use that power in a way that's pleasing to Jesus and pleasing to God. Thinking of words of encouragement, I thought of that verse there in Proverbs 25, verse 11. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It's a very precious thing when somebody comes along and just has something, just a good word to say. And I know, Brother Nelson, you mentioned that this morning when that brother was sitting around there in the circle and you were asking him for input, you know, what about going to war? You know, should a Christian be involved with that? And this one was saying just kind of what came to their mind. And then there was one that just simply shared the truth. That was just like precious. It was like precious. And that is how it ministers to us when that sound comes in that way for us. I came across a verse, and I don't think I wrote it down. I was wanting to, there was another verse, I think, in Isaiah where it talks about just that, the blessing of saying that of somebody that is learned and is able to just simply present something at a very needed time, and just the blessing that it is to the hearers, to those that hear. And so if we think of that, words of encouragement, there are times when we are discouraged, there's times when we are facing discouragement, and to just think of that, this is my opportunity now to speak a word of encouragement to that brother or that sister. To hear that sound is tremendous. It's tremendously powerful. And the opposite is true also, and I'd like to just think of that a little bit this morning. It was several years ago, quite a few years ago actually, probably about 10 or 15 years ago, that I heard of somebody in Holmes County, somewhere in that area anyway, they decided to do a little bit of a prank. They were trying to, I guess, play on words a little bit. This is the power of sound, the power of words, specifically. They came to work, and I don't know the individual, so I this is handed down, so I think I have it correct. They came to work, and this other employer, or the employees, the fellow employee, his colleague there, was there at work, and he just was feeling, I guess, a little ornery, and he said, I don't know what his name was, John, you look a little sick this morning. Are you okay? Are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm feeling fine. within a short time, this person was convinced he was sick, and he ended up calling and saying, he ended up going home. There was nothing wrong with him. But the power of sound, the power of our words, the power, and so take the other side of the story when you're discouraged, when you're having a hard day, and a brother just calls you up, or he sends you a text, or he stops in at your house and says, brother, I just want to encourage you. I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. Keep pressing on. And the boost, the motivation that can be, or when you just simply need somebody to share with, and you you pour out your burden, you pour out your needs, you confess maybe a struggle that you're facing. Is maybe not even might not even be a sin that you're having in your life, but just simply you're facing discouragement, and the brother just gives you a listening ear and just gives you a word of encouragement. That is tremendous. When you sense that brother has confidence in you, and confidence that with you and the Lord you're going to make it. With God's help you can make it. That is tremendous when you have that kind of encouragement. It's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. Our words of encouragement have tremendous amount of power. Tremendous amount of power. As you can see the negative, so is the positive. You can, even if somebody is kind of sick, even if they are a bit, they have it a rough day, their rough day is not near as bad, and they can actually be encouraged. The Bible talks about a merry heart. Does it feel like medicine or something down that line? Just bringing that cheerfulness, that cheerful sound, music, cheerful music, even bringing that into the picture. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel, if you would, please. First Samuel, this is an example of that. King David, well, he wasn't king there yet, but King Saul actually was struggling with things, and David came along here. If you read here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel 16, you children might remember the story where David used to come to Saul there when he had an evil spirit, and some of the times he would grab a spear and throw it at David, but this time here he didn't. It says in verse 19, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before thee, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Just that sound, and I believe David was singing probably some of the psalms that we read and have today. He was probably singing along with those music. I know he had harp and all those things, but he was bringing that even to an ungodly person, would you say? As ungodly as Saul was, that had a tremendous impact and a tremendous influence in his life. And so the blessing of having those words of encouragement, that sound there. I would like to, if you don't mind, just read a little bit out of the book, Surviving the Tech Tsunami. How many of you have read that? Some of you? No? I found this, and it was not specifically for this message, but I had found it another time and had noted it, and it just blessed me again just reading over this. And I know this was a little bit, it's in a context a little bit of a negative perhaps, but just the positive, I would like for us to think of the impact of that. So it's found in chapter 15, if you have a book like that at home. I'd encourage you all to read that as well if you get a chance to. I'm just going to read some of that here, just a little quotation over there. It says, it's on entertainment, changing our views and values, specifically on entertainment, but think of this on sound, the media that we hear, the media, the things that we that are coming in our ears, and the words that people speak, like I gave that example of John being sick, and you know, just hearing that thing and what impact it had. And I thought Gary Miller really brings out some of these things very clearly. It says one of the first, this is in light of this entertainment changing our views and values, one of the first to grasp the incredible potential of electronic media to shape the culture's views, and values was Adolf Hitler. Immediately following his dramatic rise to power in 1933, his Nazi army took control of the Ministry of Public Enlightenment and Propaganda and flooded the airwaves of pro-Nazi information, or with pro-Nazi information. So he was flooding the media with that. Radio broadcasts transmitted a continual diet of Aryan idealism and national pride, interspersed with the best popular orchestra music available. Notice how he did that. He did it with sound, with the thing that sounded most appealing to the ear, the power of sound. This was an ungodly man that did this. Hitler knew the programming had to be entertaining to be accepted. To ensure that his message was heard, Hitler ordered the production of inexpensive radio sets and distributed them across Germany. These one-channel radios, known as the People's Receivers, became the public's primary source of information. Speaker systems were set up in train stations, city centers, and anywhere else the public gathered. The German people, whether at home or in the market, were constantly surrounded by Nazi messages. As television and cinema became common in the 1930s, the Nazis immediately grasped the ability of this new media to shape public opinion. Between 1933 and 1945, the Nazi regime produced 1,090 films for the German public. Life was difficult in Germany at the time, and families found this cinema a distraction from the grind of daily life. What many of them didn't realize was that these films were not being produced simply for their pleasure. They were deliberately designed to change the German people's views and values. That was the purpose of those, the things that they were, that he was broadcasting on this little radio. Seemed harmless, it was free, and so forth. And for the most part, I'd like for this message to be positive, not looking on the negative. I know I'm bringing some of these things in, but just maybe I'll get to that some more later. Just even though this is a little bit of a negative side of things, I hope we can just think of the power, the tremendous amount of influence we can have for the good, encouraging each other to do good by inputting good values and inputting good encouragement into each other, investing that into our children, into our families, our brotherhood, and so forth. Going on with this story, some of these films were intended to develop a fear of surrounding countries. Movies featured valiant German martyrs being killed by evil and unjust communists. Others showed Germans outwitting unscrupulous trip. Moviegoers couldn't help but leave feeling proud and hopeful about their nation and people, but also a little angry that their superiority wasn't recognized around the world. Films like The Eternal Jew were blatant anti-Semitic, I think, brainwashing. Presented as a documentary, this film depicted Jewish people as uncivilized and parasitic. Viewers couldn't help feeling angry that these people were being allowed to do so much damage. And it was all because of that input, that sound that they were hearing. Perhaps most impactful on the German people was how these films portrayed Hitler himself. He was presented not only as a powerful leader, giving solutions for economic problems and delivering masterful orations before admiring throngs, but also as a caring father figure. Even while he was plotting cruel ways to torture innocent victims, films showed him comforting the sick in the hospital, affectionately playing with pets, and tenderly interacting with small children. This propaganda was extremely effective. After the war commenced and negative news occasionally trickled back into Germany about inhumane tactics or innocent people being slaughtered, the public was skeptical. They were skeptical because of all that they had heard. After all, with a loving man like Hitler in charge, the situation couldn't be too far out of line. Media had conditioned them to approve of whatever he condoned. We look back on a time in history and are perplexed. Couldn't the German people understand what was happening? Didn't a constant diet of slanted media raise any concerns? Incredibly few were aware of how their views and values were being shaped, because it was accomplished through entertainment. They laughed together at the comedies, cried together through emotional scenes, and rejoiced together when the German heroes were conquered. These movies were talked about in the street the next day. They couldn't wait for the next new film. But unknown to the public, they were allowing media to change their views, their values, and the very core of who they were. Are we doing the same? He asked the question there in that chapter. The power of sound, all that input, is tremendous. It's tremendous. It's sobering, actually, especially if we think of some of the negative things and so forth that can come from that. But also sobering and even just motivating, I think, if we think of the power of sound in a positive way. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew. It's an example of where our Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples. Matthew chapter 9. I'm just going to capture just a little bit, little glimpse, just a little bit here and there. The New Testament is loaded with many more places where it uses the similar outcome, similar expression, similar sensation that you feel through that, through the context here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." How would you go through her heart or her husband's heart, can you imagine what would go through their heart if they would hear that sound, if they would hear those words coming from Jesus? Tremendous, tremendous. And of course, you know, the scribes and Pharisees, they were struggling with these things, but it brought joy to that person's heart. It brought life to that person's heart, and that's what Jesus would do. He brings life. He speaks life. Jesus is life. And when he speaks, it's a powerful sound, tremendous. It's not just, I don't mean just the decibels and that part of it, but the comfort that it brings, his spirit being there. But even just simply the words of encouragement, like little children, when they're struggling with something and daddy takes them in their arm, says, "It's okay, son. It's fine. I'll protect you. I'll keep you safe." That is extremely comforting. Also, even for teenagers, I believe, older children, when they're struggling with something and they bring something to dad and they still sense that loving care. They say, "Son, I'll be praying for you. Son, I'm here to try to, I want to be here for you, with you through this thing." That is tremendous, tremendous to our children. It is a tremendous encouragement, tremendous powerful way, is a powerful way for us to use the sound that God has given to us. The power of sound. Again, remember all that negative influence, political influence that came through Hitler and how that shaped the people's mind. We can also, I don't think just in positive thinking, that's not what I'm trying to promote. I'm not just trying to promote a positive thinking gospel at all, but just simply the blessing it can be to use the sound, the words that we have, the songs we have to encourage each other and to be a blessing to each other. So that was specifically on the words of encouragement. Now I'd like to look just a little bit into good music, choosing good music or just simply good music, the importance of that and the power that it has. Good music, it will glorify and honor the Lord and edify the listener. It will make the listener's heart more sensitive to the Spirit of God. Good music will do that. If we have good music going on, if we have any CDs going, any singing going on, just even among ourselves, we sing or whatever, it will honor the Lord Jesus, first of all, and it will also edify the listener. It will edify those that listen. It'll be a blessing. It will also make the listener's heart more sensitive to the Spirit of God. And just for myself, my own personal testimony, I remember a time that I was struggling, and I probably shared this here before, but I many times just think of that, how impactful that was for me. I was struggling, this was many years ago, when I was single, and my brother James came along. He was singing, just singing, and how convicting it was, as well as how much it spoke. It made me more sensitive to the Spirit of God. You know, just simply hearing that, the words being sung, and so that good music, can make us more sensitive to hearing from God. In Colossians chapter 3, says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're admonishing each other. We're teaching each other. We're instructing each other. We're influencing each other. There's a lot of input that's happening through song, through psalms, but also I noticed there the first phrase there in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I think that's one key thing that's actually very important for us to take note of in order, I think, for some of those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to be there. We need to be richly, the word of Christ needs to be richly filling us. We need to be richly, when I think richly filled, it's completely full. We need to be completely filled with the wisdom of God and the word of Christ dwelling in us. And then that, I think, is the fruit that comes out of that. We speak to each other. But it's with good music. It's with good sound. It's with godly music. And when I say music, I'm not specifically thinking of instrumental music. I'm thinking of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, just like it says here. But having that influence, and I think some of those other things can have their place, perhaps. But I do think we have to be very, very careful with instrumental music. We're extremely careful with that, and which I don't think that's where we're wanting to go as a church here either, and just appreciate some of the caution there. Also, in choosing, in light of good music, there's a kind of a sub, maybe a point A underneath that, the importance of choosing good music. I'd just like to maybe highlight also the need or the importance of us as fathers. Some of us perhaps listen to lots of CDs. I don't know how many of you listen to the CDs. I know there was a time in my growing up years where there was a lot more of that going on. I don't know how much of that happens in your homes. But I do just want to throw this out as a word of caution, a word of encouragement and carefulness. So fathers, when your family gets a new CD, I would encourage you to listen to the whole thing before they get too attached to that CD. And when I say that, I think there might be one CD or so that we have at home that I actually didn't even listen to it completely myself. We just hardly listen to CDs. So, but I do share that as a word of caution, word of encouragement, and I have tried to do that, to follow through on those things. That's a reminder for myself again. But just I remember. I'll get to that just soon. So if one song does not sound like it belongs in the kingdom of God, my encouragement would be trash the CD. Just trash it. Just one song. You have, maybe 10 songs on there, or I don't know how many you can always fit on those, 15 maybe. And just one of those is, doesn't really belong with the kingdom of God and of Christ. My encouragement is, just trash it. Just trash it. Trash it. verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Approving what is acceptable. I'm sorry, not approving. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, test it out and seek the Lord about those things, and God will give you direction. God will give you direction, and he leads us on. And that's one thing I also want to be very careful not to be critical looking on to others. We're on a journey, and not always do we always, our hearts maybe exactly, do we always see something exactly as soon as another brother does. But I also think of the verse there in Mark chapter 14, verse 26, where it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Choosing a good hymn or a good song, can you imagine that our Lord Jesus, it's his last night, and tonight, Lord willing, we plan to have communion here in remembrance of that. But if you think of that, Jesus choosing a hymn, if I can only imagine that it was a hymn that edified, it was a hymn that ministered, it was a hymn that, it brought more of a sensitivity of who God is, I'm sure, or something of that nature, maybe even who Jesus himself was. I don't know what for a hymn that they sung, but I'm sure it had that kind of, it was good music. I would love to know what that song was and learn that song, whatever, and maybe we know it. I don't know, maybe with us reading Psalms, I don't know. But they sang a hymn, and I'm sure it was something to encourage his disciples to go on, to be encouraged in him, and to be faithful. Something down that line, probably. So it's tremendously important. Also in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Also giving thanks always for all things unto God. If we think about sound and the power of sound and how much we read into, how much we understand through sound, dads, present kind of a statement, but I assume you'll agree with me. Usually when we, and moms, you're right along with that as well. Usually when we hear our children, we can tell whether it is play, fighting, or foolishness. Right? Normally, we can hear if it's a game going on, normally, or if it's some fighting going on. And so we can hear that simply by the sound that we don't have to see our children. We just hear them in the next room, and it sounds like a peaceful, joyful, fun time together. They're pleasant, they're having a nice interaction. Or there's argument and tension or foolishness so sound we can read a lot, we can hear a lot by sound. Point B under the music part there. Just like to make a few comments on some music that we should avoid. As we think of the power of sound and the influence of sound, we want to choose good, godly music. And when I say godly music, godly influence, that I think can also be the messages that we listen to, who we listen to. Whose CDs we get and what websites we go to for our information and so forth. Specifically, looking at music, one definition has it that it's a temporary displacement of the regular metrical accent in music caused typically by the stressing the weak beat, and which I know some of you sing and you hardly know that you have a beat. Okay, you know, and that's fine. But whether you know that or don't know that, it influences you. Whether you know that or don't know that, it influences you. And so I would encourage you, if you don't know music, and you're just not sure, I would encourage you, give that CD, give that whatever to a brother that knows some music and knows a little bit about that, because that influence will feed you. If you're familiar with country style music, if you're familiar with rock music, of course, you know that sounds pretty trashy and ugly and whatever and so forth, but country music has those things in it as well. But it has a, much of it many times is formed to make a person want to, do things like dancing and just be very, very carnal, fleshly, as well as it puts you, I'm not quite sure how to explain it, but it does not make you more receptive to the Spirit of God. It does not. It does the opposite of what hymns and spiritual singing and good music will do. An example that I was going to mention was, in light of some of these things, choosing good music and so forth, and just even how sometimes we're maybe on a journey and so forth. And I would just encourage us to be open to each other for that input. When I was young, my parents did listen to, and we went to Nelson Coblentz's revival meetings and so forth. I don't know if any of you remember Nelson Coblentz or heard of him or any of that. I see head shaking. No, I'm surprised. But I guess he was in Holmes County enough. But yeah, he would have tent meetings there, and he would have music instruments. And I went into prison with him a number of times. And yes, it was a blessing. Sometimes, actually, numerous times that I went, I feel like it was a blessing. But I think it was a journey in life that I went through there. But interestingly, he preached. I was in a tent meeting one time when he was preaching himself, and he shared at one of the meetings that I was at, he mentioned that he was being pushed. So he used musical instruments. He used guitar. He used, I think, even bass guitar and some of those things, which I would not recommend now with the journey that I've been on. I would not recommend that looking back. But he was seeing things, but I'm not sure why he didn't respond to them. Yeah, even with knowing some of these things. So, but it's a lesson for me. I don't want to look at this critically against him, but just simply, how am I doing? What am I doing with the sounds that are coming in? He said at one of the meetings there, he said that he was being pushed by the recording studios, the places where he was being recorded, doing his recording, he was being pushed to add a bit more beat and some of this, I think this syncopation, this offbeat, into his recordings, because it would make it more appealing. It would make it more whatever. But he was trying to drag his feet, to not do it. But he's got it now. He's older now. I'm not sure how much singing he does anymore, but his stuff, his group, his whatever, unfortunately, yeah. Those things are there all over. But those things will take us places. It will take us, because, and I also think of a scripture right now. It says in the last days it's going to be perilous, and I'm kind of mixing a couple of scriptures together, but it talks about putting teachers there that have itching ears. And it's a temptation for all of us. to make a little comment on a few singers. This is a cappella singers, if I understand right. A cappella singers that we should, I would encourage us to avoid. Many of you perhaps have heard some of these. Hopefully you don't have them. I would really encourage you, if you have them, especially the newer, some of the way old ones. I used to listen to Garment of Praise many, many years ago, back in the early to mid-90s, perhaps. Garment of Praise CDs or singers. I don't know if you're familiar with them. Nowadays, where they're at today, I'm not even sure if they're still singing or not, but the latest ones, the latest models, albums that they came out with are not where I would understand we as a church we want to be. It's not where I want to be personally either. And so I just throw that out. That's a cappella, some of it, most of it. But just because it's a cappella is not all good. I just throw that out as a word of caution. Higher Ground, some of these other quartets I'm not so familiar with. Higher Ground Quartet, I did a little bit of research on them. Landis Brothers Quartet. Palm Aries Quartet. Those are some that I would just really encourage us to steer away from. And maybe you don't, I don't know what you're looking for. I didn't check them. I don't look at your shelves to see what you got. So I don't know any of that information. I'm not picking it out anyone. If you have that, it's not because I knew it. It's just some that I've stumbled across and seen myself and realized that some of the Anabaptist world has some of these. And they are, some people are just okay with it, but I think it's going to influence us in a wrong way, wrong sound. Another just a few little points, not points, but little comments, I would say, not points, maybe. Question, can we leave that? This is also just in light of maybe more sight as well as sound, the power of sound. Can we leave the TV off when we travel and stay at a hotel? What about traveling on airlines and going shopping at Walmart? Can we turn away from the filth or the video screen? Just turn away from it. Can we turn away from that? Can we choose to do that? Or even sometimes purposely concentrating on something. You have all these loudspeakers going on in Walmart when you go shopping and so forth. Sometimes if you try to, you can follow along with the song. You can try to catch along. I would encourage us to try to not follow along with the song, you know, because those things influence us, I think, and maybe even more than we realize. Actually, I think they do if we try to feed on that, definitely. Another statement, if there's some new way of thinking or some new great speaker or some new great singing group, let's be careful. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, he tells us that we should beware of false prophets. They're going to come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits. And it's by some of the sound that comes out, both the albums that come out, the messages that come across, and also the life that they live. It's by their fruit that you'll know them. Want to encourage us to use that powerful thing that God has given to us, the sound. Let's use it to bless. Let's use